Reformed Church.
I do want have something that I want to share with you. Basically, it is around like holding on to the things that we've heard already. And what kind of sparked this is I was reading. I'll tell you where I kind of started. I think it was Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 2, actually, verse number 1 it says, therefore we must give, and this is, Andre, this is New King James. It says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. But the emphasis there, it kind of got me thinking on something. You know how kind of when something's been on your mind and then, you know, it just kind of, not that it goes off of your mind, but, you know, you're thinking about other stuff. And then, you know, you just read something or you have a thought that just kind of brings it all back up again. So that was kind of the verse that started that back up. And then in correlation to that, 2 Timothy, if we can go there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. It says, in the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit to these faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I know that Paul suffered a lot of imprisonments and physical things, but despite that, what I really believe that he's talking about here is actually not suffering physically, but persecution. And obviously, you know, we don't believe that you need that within persecution, people should be allowed, and that the Lord just kind of says, oh yeah, like protection is kind of gone from you when it refers to persecution, but that, you know, that people will persecute and not like you and criticize you and call you, you know, evil or whatever because of the gospel that you believe in. But just to kind of hone in on that a little bit, he said you must endure hardship. So they're like enduring persecution as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the emphasis again there is on because of the gospel, right? Because of the gospel that you believe in. And then I want to read to you the rest of this. And he goes on to talk very specifically, like you can tell that what he's talking about is because of the gospel that you hold on to, because of the things that you have not refused to let go of. Verse number 4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him. So you know there, please him, he's talking about faith, because there is no necessarily pleasure that the Lord takes, if not from faith, that we would continue in faith, right? So he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. And one of the things there, because I want to read to you, if we have a time, a little bit out of Mark 4, entangles himself in the affairs of this life. You know, there's something, if you just bear with me with this explanation and how, I'll show you in a second what it has to do with what we're talking about. But, you know, as we were growing up as young men, young women, right, you learn a lot of things and the way that they operate in the world, right? And even as you continue, you know, even after becoming a Christian, you could, I mean, like me, for me, that's how it happened, right? I really didn't come to be a Christian until like into my mid-20s, I think, early 20s, mid-20s. But I was still growing. So I was growing in the knowledge of Christ slowly, right? But I was still very much at a good clip growing in the way the world works, right? The way, I mean, coming out of, you know, I grew up in New York City. From there, we went to Dominican Republic. So you see how things work here, how things work there, how things of the world work. Then you join the Navy and you learn all kinds of things, how things work in the world, right? That obviously are not good, right? And you continue throughout your life to grow to some extent of how things work in this world. But I began, you know, I don't know how long ago, to talk to the Lord about, you know, not wanting to continue to grow like in an education of how this world works. Like I would rather be pretty much innocent minded to how things work in the world. And what I mean by that is not, you know, business and things that could actually be to my profit and things that the Lord can like put things before you so you can learn certain things. I'm talking about the way natural worldly things work, the way death and the way depravity and the way perversion works in this world. Like I don't want to get an education in that stuff, right? I don't need to know the ins and outs of that stuff. But I think what happens is sometimes, you know, I think with us and even, you know, younger people that we have that listen to online maybe or attend the church, that, you know, you could grow entangled in the things of this world. And if not even considering yourself maybe entangled, that you are growing in knowledge at a greater clip than you're growing in the knowledge of the Lord, right? That you become very, you know, you start seeing opportunities, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you kind of grow, you're growing into things that you ought to question and say, do I need to be growing in the knowledge of this? Because I think there's this perception, right, that you need to be street smart or that you need to have certain knowledge to know how stuff in the world works. But that really is not true, right? There are things, again, that are good for us to know so that we can be, you know, shrewd in business and things like that. But there are lots of stuff, lots of things that I have grown in the knowledge of that I actually want to forget, right, that I don't want to know. So when I hear, you know, about holding on to the things that we've heard, I'm kind of putting that side by side also continuing to grow in the knowledge of Christ, but diminishing our constant education in the way this world works, right? So that's why we do have to be a bit savvy about the things that we're watching, right? And you know what? If, I'll tell you this much too, if you watch something on TV or something and somebody has a saying or somebody says a certain way that you kind of know, you know what, the slant of what's being said, I don't really know about that, but I kind of know probably how it's leaning. Like, you don't have to look something up on the internet to now become wise to what's being said because you just want to know or you're curious, you know. So I guess what I'm talking about there, and I know this is not something that we've ever kind of discussed before, but it's our growing education in the things of this world, that we don't have to grow in tangles in the affairs of this life. In other words, there are things that is just honestly not of our business. It's this world's business, and let them do what they're doing. And we don't have to grow in the education of what they're doing. We don't have to even know what they're talking about, right, when it comes to certain things. Again, I'm not talking about a business. I'm talking about depravity. I'm talking about things that you don't want to be involved in to do or to ever think about, let alone to understand how it works, right? We're better off not knowing a lot of that stuff. So it does us good whether we are, you know, adults, young adults, you know, older teenagers, whatever, right, that we would see like what it is to be innocent, right, in certain things, but be wise in other things, right? So he says here, coming back to what we were saying in verse number 4, 2 Timothy 2, 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Right. Obviously, the Lord has been teaching us just such good stuff for so many years. Right. That's the kind of stuff the Lord wants our mind on. It's verse number 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Right. I believe there again, that reference is continuing in our obedience of faith. Verse number 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So he's giving you emphasis there on what he's talking about when he's talking about persecution and why he was persecuted. Because he says in verse number 9, for which I suffer trouble. Same thing that he was talking about in verse number 3 about the persecution. Here he says, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. In other words, being called a worker of evil or a worker of wrong or doer of wrong, right? Even to the point of chains. Now, that, you know, that is more between Paul and the Lord, but obviously we don't believe that persecution needs to come to our lives to the point of chains, right? But that we've been delivered from the aggression of other people towards us to bring harm to us. Obviously, that's evident in many, many parts of Scripture. The only reason why people would believe they have to go through that is because they would be looking at Paul's life as an example to live by, which obviously his life is not an example for us to live by. Neither is anyone else's life, apart from their faith in Jesus, which I definitely imitate that as far as Paul's concerned. It says, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, he says, but the word of God is not changed. Therefore, I endure all things, which he's talking about the same persecution in verse number 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. So he's talking about people that have, that the Lord knows in his foreknowledge will receive him, but have not yet. So he's talking about preaching the gospel, right? Which is the exact place where we are, right? As a church and even as individuals, right? That we have an ongoing desire to continue with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even if as it pertains to that gospel, I won't get ahead of myself, but I have to hurry. So he talks about, therefore, just to back up in verse number 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So with eternal glory. So he's talking specifically about the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Let me before I run out of time here, because I know we only got a couple minutes. I'll just mention to you briefly Mark chapter 4, right? The parable of the seed and the sower. That I don't want to forget to mention something, so let's just go there quickly. I won't dwell very long on it. I'll just kind of mention it. But Mark chapter 4, around verse number 13. Mark 4, 13. 13, obviously, that's where he does talk about, he mentions, do you not understand this parable? And he goes on to explain the parable to them. But if you jump down to verse number 17, he says one of the types of soil are they that have no root, verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises, which Paul was talking about, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. He says, now these are the ones sown among thorns, they that are the ones who hear the word of God and the cares of this life, which has a bit to do with the entanglements we were talking about, right? The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, right? Entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20 says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those that hear the word, accept it or receive that word and bear fruit, some 30, 60, and some 100, right? So holding on to the things that we have heard, right? Even there was something that Pastor Mike was sharing just recently about, or maybe it was in an article, about holding tightly, you know, when the Lord has even given you a word of prophecy, right? And you've yet to see the manifestation of that come to pass, but hold tightly to it. The things that we could, other things that we might be getting educated on or looking up on the internet or researching, maybe things that contradict the promise that God gave you, right? But the promise of God is the one thing that is never chained and bound, right? And is not subject to the things of this world that, again, we're being educated on. Some things, again, are fine to be educated on. I remember even saying this to you several times before about if you can handle what you're researching, then do. But honestly, most times you just really have to ask yourself, do I need to become educated? Because that's what you're doing. When you're researching something, you are becoming educated in a certain thing. Do you need an education in that? What is it going to do for you after you know? Right? Do you need to be educated in certain things? And it's a good thing. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Right? A good question. So, in maybe four more minutes. If we could go quickly. Yeah, we did read. Okay. Sorry. Beautiful. Thank you. I'm saying thank you to the Lord in my head, but I wasn't saying thank you to you. Hebrews chapter 2. If we can go back there, Brother Andre, and we're going to end right here. Hebrews chapter 2, we read verse number 1, right? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. And then we stopped. But he talks about in the first part of Hebrews 2 about, you know, if the word that was spoken by angels proved to be steadfast, right? How much more, you know, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Talking about people turning away from the gospel turning away from the gospel as far as salvation, right? Like not receiving it, which obviously that's not necessarily applicable to us here. But what he does talk about in verse number 5, he says, Hebrews 2:5, he says, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have the Lord and the angels, you have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the work of your hands. But you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. So when you're holding on to the things that God has said, and this is where we're going to end right here. But the things that you're seeing, right, are not matching with the things that the Lord has told you. Just remember, you know, when it comes to the gospel that the Lord has been teaching us, it's beholding the glory of the Lord and looking at what you see in Jesus as the truth, and not what you see with your physical eyes as the ultimate truth, right? But what you're seeing in Jesus. Because what he says is, when you don't see things, right, as all being under his feet, verse number 9 says, you do see Jesus. Verse number 9, but we do see Jesus, which is where the Lord wants our eyes, who was made a little lower than the angels, for suffering, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So that's the one part, and even another part that comes to mind is in 2 Timothy 1, he talks about how life and immortality comes to light through the gospel. But that if you put your eyes on the things that the Lord has been showing us about who he is and what he possesses, and therefore by joint heirship, right, what we have and what we possess, how, you know, you see the validity of that over and over again confirmed to you in scripture. Because it says, even when your eyes, you know, what you're seeing with your physical eyes don't look like everything is under the control of Christ, everything is under his feet, right? Know that in your life, right, when you behold and you look at Jesus, you can tell by looking at him, you can see really that everything is under his feet. And as it relates to you, that the will of God is done in your life as it is in heaven, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.